You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to cofcalbany.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
Thanks, Gavin. It's good to be back in Albany again. I'd say many of you have seen me before. Name's John Hutchinson. And at present, I'm the Executive Minister for Churches of Christ. But love coming to Albany, and that's one of the great parts of my role, is to be able to travel. And I shared this first service last month. I've been in up at Kalgoorlie, down to Busselton, and now here. So I bring greetings from the churches throughout our great state to you, and when I go to the next church, I'll take your greetings to them. But it's a real privilege to be here and to share what I feel God wants to say to you this morning. And so let's just pause a moment and just give him thanks. Father, thanks that we've had that opportunity to share in prayer, to, Lord, to stop and to listen and to pray for others and to lift them up before you. Lord, just in this next few moments, let us be able to put aside anything that is distracting us or occupying our minds. Lord, let us be able to hear what you want to say to us. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So who's been in the middle of a storm or gone through a storm? Yeah, a few people? Yep. I've been through a few. Shared, we were in Exmouth few years ago, and it happened to be my wife's birthday, and that cyclone hit. And my son-in-law and wife decided they wanted to feel like what's it like to be in the middle of a cyclone. So they put on dive masks and ran out into the wind and the rain and came back pretty quick. And but yeah, that was one. One a little bit closer to home is, or I felt like it was a storm. I had the privilege of being on the Chains 2 whale chaser just before it shut down. And we went out the heads and we're in the Southern Ocean. And, of course, back then they had forecasts, but not to the detail that we have today. And we went out and a storm blew up, and then we had to turn around and start heading back into Albany. And those waves were as high as the lookout on the whale chaser. And I felt pretty small in that and was very grateful when we came back into the protection of the bay. But it was an incredible privilege. The storms, you know, lots of storms in Scripture. And, of course, probably the most natural one we go to is when Jesus is in the boat and they're crossing the sea and a storm comes up. And, you know, uses words like, well, you can read it in Mark chapter 4 if you want to later on. But we've got to remember these guys were professional fishermen, you know, that Jesus was out there on the sea with. And it, if you read it, it says a furious squall. So it was a pretty bad squall. Waves were going over the boat and it says Jesus was asleep. And then, of course, we know the story that they go, Jesus, Jesus, we're going to drown, you know, wake up. And wakes him up, and then Jesus calms the storm. The other storm I want to mention that, from the Scriptures is in John chapter 16, verse 33. And it says this, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's a storm of life. And I think many of us will all attribute that we've faced storms of life. Well, we may be facing a storm of life now. You know, at the moment, you know, in our world, our country, our state, our city, and in your town, you know, you're going through a storm. A storm that's impacting our society, our culture, our economy, our families, and every one of us individually, and that's COVID. And then there are also individual storms. And I just heard Gavin and have spoken to some of you, and there's some significant storms that in our individual lives that COVID becomes very secondary. And this morning I want to talk to you about that, because I go, you know, if Jesus was here, you know, if Jesus was here with us in our boat this morning, how would he be acting? And what would he be doing? You know, when he was in the middle of a storm, he was so at peace, so calm, so not worried, he was able to sleep. You know, how are you going in the middle of your storm with your peace, with your calm, with your freedom, with your security? You know, I don't think Jesus would be nervous if he was here. He wouldn't be fazed at all about what's going on. And I believe that would be the case because of his relationship with the Father. You see, our Heavenly Father, who is in control of everything. But we've got to believe that. That's where it all starts. Will we and do we believe that? You know, if Jesus was here, the big question is that, are we in close relationship with our Heavenly Father so that we can carry that same peace, same security, same calmness into our situation, into our circumstances? You see, I think things are going to get worse. I believe things are going to get tougher before they get any better. You know, we just have to look at the TV, read the paper, look at the data, and it's talking about all the research is showing that alcohol consumption is up, domestic violence is on the rise, scams are increasing, fear and anxiety are spiraling upwards. And there's an overall feeling of instability across all aspects of life. You just have to look around and you pick that up. So how do you and I, the church, prepare and develop our trust and our assurance in Jesus so that we can be the people of peace, so that we can be the people of peace in every situation? In the midst of the storms, in the midst of the troubles that we come across or face. Or maybe we're privileged and we're just in a season of life that we may not be facing any storms at the moment. But I got a pretty fair idea that at some stage we will. That's life as we know it. Or you may just be in the stage where God's given you a time of rest, and he's wanting you to go deeper with your relationship with him so you have the strength, you have the security, you have the peace when that next trouble, that next storm comes along, you can draw on. How do we develop our ability to be prepared to step into the unfolding opportunities that are going to come our way? You see, we can look at all the struggles, all the storms, everything, and we can whinge, we can complain, and it doesn't get us anywhere. Or we can look at them as opportunities to see and experience the reality and the strength of God in those opportunities, in those storms. So first and foremost, we have to be in relationship with God, knowing and living our identity as a child of God. You know, we just sang about it, about truly being a child of God. In his family, we have the inheritance, we have the rights of a child of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. See, we're his possession for his praise and his glory, not ours. See, when we believe in Jesus, God tells us he has put his Spirit in us, guaranteeing who we are and our inheritance as children of God. That's pretty amazing. But are we living that out in our lives? Do we live with the confidence that I'm a child of God? God Almighty. In 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Friends, can we get a grasp? Will we take hold of that incredible privilege and that right as a child of the living God? You know, the greatest thing we can do to help us come to grips with that is to belong, as John shared, in communion, is to be in community. One of the things that the enemy wants to do is get you to think that you're on your own, to get you to think you're isolated. Whereas God says, no, be in community. Share with each other. All through scriptures it talks about we were created to be in community, to belong, to be with each other, so we can encourage each other. We can learn to receive and give forgiveness. We can learn to receive and give love. We can learn to receive or to be in repentance and grow together as children of God. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's where we have to start. Seek first his kingdom above everything else, because this is how we'll develop, or how you'll develop your resolve to be able to walk and live in peace no matter what happens. You start with believing who you are and that your Heavenly Father will guide and empower you to live through your storm or your trouble. You trust Jesus enough to spend time with him, choosing time with him over the demands of the day, believing you will accomplish more as you listen to the Holy Spirit, who helps you sort out what is important and what is not. You see, friends, the demands of the day will always be there. They'll keep coming. And Jesus is saying, will you choose to push, put a hand up, stop the demands of the day and go, no, I'm going to start and listen and be with Jesus. Jesus delights. He wants to be with you. When we sit with him, when we listen to him, if we will choose to take that time, you have to believe that the rest of your day will go better. Your rest of your time, whatever you face and will be facing, he'll give you the wisdom, the strength, the insight, discernment to step into it and go through your day way better. I try and get a new devotional every year just to hear someone else's perspectives, to have a freshness in hearing how they see God and how they relate and listen to God. And one I'm reading at the moment is by a lady by the name of Gretchen Rodriguez. She put it this way: the most persistent choice you face is whether you will trust God or to worry. You will never run out of things to worry about, but you can choose to trust Jesus no matter what. See, when you trust God, you'll be the person of peace in your home, workplace, here in your church, and you'll be able to reflect the reality and power of God in every opportunity He puts in front of you when you seek Him first. You know, in John 14, verse 27, it says, "The peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Wow. See, John shared in communion, there's all sorts of stuff going on at the moment. People have got opinions on this, opinions on that. You know, the thing that I look for when people, I'm sharing with people, do they have peace? Do they have joy? Is there a freedom in their spirit? And are they quiet? You see, if they've been with God, if they've been listening to the Holy Spirit, that's the fruit of the Spirit. But if they're not, if there's fear, if there's anxiety, if there's anger, I go, nah. There's something not right there, because that's not what comes from the Holy Spirit. You can have as much of Jesus and His peace as you want it. See, we can have as much as long as we're willing to go after it. But it all starts and finishes with your relationship with Him and believing His kingdom is unshakable and that you are on the winning team. So you may be at the moment going, I am really struggling. I can't see how this is going to end. I can't see a way out of it. I can't see. No, you can't. I shared, who watched the Australian Open or who's a tennis fan here? A few people, anybody? Good. A few of you will know what I'm talking about then. You know, the Australian Open, the finals, both finals, this happened. But the women's final, Ash Barty, the Australian, she wins the first set. Second set, she's down 5-1. She lost 5 games in a row. I wrote her off. Anyone else do that? I thought, she's done, you know. And I thought she's going to have to let that go and come back and try for the third set. No, not her. She fought 1 point at a time and came back and won that second set. You see, and I can guarantee she didn't think, when she was down 5-1, she didn't think, oh, I'll just win the next 5 games straight. Uh-uh. I guarantee she thought, I just got to win this next point. I just got to win the next point. Then she wins it. I just got to win this 1 point at a time. That's what we have to do with our faith, with whatever the situation you're facing now, is that you sit and you listen and God says, I want you to do it this way. And you go, okay, I'll take it and I'll do it. I'll take that one step of faith, one step of trust, one step of obedience. Because when we do it and we see Jesus come through, that then gives us the courage to again take another step and trust Him for the next step. One act of faith, one act of trust, one act of obedience at a time. And then we get some momentum and our faith grows and our peace grows and our joy grows and our freedom grows in Christ alone. One of my good friends says it this way. He said, the smallest amount of faith in the God of the impossible is more than sufficient to do all God requires of you. Wow. We read in the scriptures, it says you only need the faith the size of a mustard seed. In other words, just one instant, one decision, one thought at a time, and we put it into practice, and God can do the impossible. See, we live in a very comfort-driven society. The storm you're living through is shaking and sifting some of your priorities. When you are in relationship with Jesus, You are part of an unshakable kingdom. Storms and times of hardship are opportunities to grow deeper roots into your eternal kingdom, to act in trust and obedience. Will you act? Will you take that step one at a time? Can I encourage you to trust and put God's word into practice so that you can conquer the fears, the uncertainties, the anxieties within you? Remember, the most common command that God gives us is what? Do not fear, for I am with you. The most common. Why would that be? Because he knows that's what happens. That's Satan's, the way he wants to get you, to think it can't happen, to think it's not worth it, to think it's not the right thing to do in following God. God's going, no. I love Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. You may feel like the earth is giving way. You may feel like there is nothing left. And God goes, no, no, I'm the God of the impossible. I'm the God of the impossible. So anchor your life deep into God's unshakable kingdom. Let God's love squash any fear. And then pursue and listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not easy trying to slow down, trying to put ourselves in a place to hear. And this highlights the importance of reading and pondering the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring it alive for you, to bring it alive. This is vital for your stability and ability to walk in peace in the middle of your storm. Because your resolve and stability happens through prioritizing your relationship with Jesus. When you come before him in a posture of dependence, humility and openness, he teaches and strengthens us. If you do what God asks you to do, he will do what you cannot do. He will change your heart, empowering you to carry his love, peace, and stability into every moment of your day. Again, Gretchen Rodriguez from my devotional put it this way: when we do our part to slow down and listen to his word, with him we will find balance, peace, and a fresh perspective, because his ways aren't our ways. He sees things differently to us. You know, there are so many stories throughout the scriptures, so many of people facing trouble, facing struggles. There's a woman who went to Jesus, grabbed just the hem of his garment. There's a centurion whose servant was dying, and he sends a message to Jesus. He says, you don't even have to come, just say the word. Story after story, the lepers seeking Jesus to heal, the blind guys, their stories, their troubles, their hardships, and they dared to believe that he was the God of the impossible. Will you dare to believe this morning that whatever storm is in front of you, whatever trouble is in front of you, God will stay with you. His faithfulness and his goodness will not let you go. And he'll walk with you. And he'll give you a peace. He'll give you the security. He'll give you that freedom to stand and to speak and act in love because you trust in him. All those stories in the scriptures are there to help give us that trust and faith. in a God who loves us, a God you can believe in. But see, for us to experience the reality of God, we have to trust him and take a step of faith to enable him to come through for us. I love that thing. You know, in Matthew it says this verse, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." There's more than two or three here this morning gathered in his name. Don't leave here without praying. If there's something that you want, you're facing a storm, a trouble, pray with the person you came with. Ask someone, ask Gav, ask one of the leaders, ask Tim, ask somebody. Come and I'll pray with you. But will you trust God is here and he wants to answer your prayers? Will you dare to believe and trust him? Let me pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, your word, every time we pick it up, there's an opportunity for you to speak to us, to give us fresh hope, a fresh revelation, because your word is alive and living. Lord, you remind us that we are your children and that the most important thing in our life is our relationship with you. The greatest thing that we can do, that we can prioritize, is listening and just sitting with you, letting you speak to us. Lord, let's trust. Lord, let us take one step and just go through each day. And let me leave you with this, that you will take time today to simply delight in your God and allow his presence to flood the dry, weary places of your heart. You are his chosen children, the apple of his eye. God gave up his only son for the chance to meet with you right now. Simply open up your heart and delight in the love of your heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.